Yeah, sometimes.
Well, should we start? Well, we'd like to welcome everyone to our school board, especially the family of Officer Byrd. It's nice to have you here with us, so thank you. We'd like to begin by having a pledge by Ann Gary.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Ann. Okay, Marshall, I believe we have a special presentation to a fine young man.
This is for posterity. We have to
Okay.
When I came to the district in 2006, I had the opportunity of meeting with the then police chief, and he was talking about the resource officers that we had, and the program at that point was NOVA, was being done at the elementary school.
DARE
program first. And as we started talking about it, I would be meeting up, and I think within a very short amount of time, I had a chance to meet Danny. And first of all of the elementary principals were just ecstatic. They just had loved him, and he had a lot of great dealings with him. And then over the last 6 years, we have seen a transition to the NOVA program, and Denny has been an invaluable resource to us as a district. He knows kids, and anyone can get something out of a kid is this man. He looked out after us, not just at the elementary level, but all the way through. He was a great mentor for our middle school and high school people as they came through. And he has just been not only an outstanding policeman, but he's been an outstanding person to work with and a close personal friend. I've really appreciated working with him. His knowledge level of what he knows, and through his involvement in the gang task force, it was an immense help to us as a district, and we're going to miss you.
We're going to miss you guys.
We wanted to present to you this picture.
Wow.
And with an inscription, Detective Danny Byrd, in appreciation for your outstanding service as a school resource officer and also as a DARE/NOVA instructor for the Logan City School District 2006 through 2012.
Wow. Thank you
so much.
Thank you very much. The superintendent knows I'm an emotional person, and I do. I love this job, and I will miss working in the schools every day. There's no doubt about that. I appreciate this this gift and the honor to be here tonight. I love being a police officer, and I will go back to the road and be a patrolman for a while, and who knows what the future holds for me. And so I'll still be around and available to help. One of the bonuses, I won't be the guy calling you at 3 in the morning or barking, it'll be somebody else. So that's a little bit of a bonus for me, but thank you very, very much. And, if you'll pass that on to the principals as well, I'll probably send an email out to them. But, what do you say, It's actually been seven years that I've been doing this. So a big chunk of my career and my time here, and my family's all been part of it. And so my wife, Liz, is there. Ethan, raise your hand, Ethan, so they know who you are. Cheyenne? Yep, we know who she is. And Gavin, who's a little embarrassed right now. But they're a big support for me, they're the people I think of whenever I'm dealing with another kid at any of the schools, is how would I want my children treated if they were the one that we're talking to, no matter if it was a child abuse case or if it was something that they had done to get in trouble. So thank you very much, and we'll see you around.
That's fine.
It's exciting as it was to be.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I have a... I guess we should... Don't we normally have any... We'll do the budget hearings in the public.
Okay.
All right. Okay, we'll now go into our budget hearing. So Zane and Marshall, I guess the two of you like to...
Colonel, for our guests, do you want to copy the budget?
It's coming.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have to hold on.
I'm changing my shirt to put on a short sleeve and my glasses. We can hold this so I can read it. Good, I'll just watch it over here.
Board members would like to go to the board portal. And under finance, under finances, and then first thing we want to look at is the FY12 final budget PDF. Does any good for folks or not?
The like first one was financial information.
No, just first says finance.
It's in the middle where it says finances.
Oh, okay. Right.
Can you give me the address for the portal real quick?
It's boardweb.loganschools.org.
And then we want the FY12 financial.
I want to look at FY12 financials.
Okay.
If you want, Christy, you might have a hard copy here.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Final FY12 budget.
So what are the processes? Is we've got two things tonight. We've got the final budget for where we are for this year before it closes on June 30th, and then we also are talking about the tentative fiscal year 13 budget, which will be the next part of the presentation, and then we'll open it up for public comment.
So. What you have there on the first page is just a summary of our budget for the current year. You can see we have six funds. Fund 10 is our maintenance and operations fund. That's where most everything happens. We have our student activities fund. That's fund 21, and that's where our school accounts are tracked. And then we have Fund 23, which is non-K-12 programs. So in Fund 23, we have preschool, adult education, community education, and we run our athletic programs through there this year. Our debt service fund is where the bills, where the bond indebtedness is paid. That's where we pay the mortgage from on the schools. And then our capital outlay fund is where we pay for capital expenditures with current revenue, and we pay the bonds for our revenue bonds that we issued when we built Woodruff Elementary. And then we have our food service fund, and over here in the right end of the blue you can see which is the sum of all the funds. The red line is the expenditures for each of the funds. And if you go down, you can see revenues over or under expenditures and other financing sources. In this case, remember the board approved a transfer for the current year of $1,120,000 from capital into the M&O account. That was something the legislature allowed us to do for fiscal 11 and fiscal 12. So we won't get to do that anymore. And the one-time salary enhancements that we did last year were paid from that transfer. And then the next line shows what the change in the fund balance would be that we budgeted. this white line budgeted beginning fund balance. That's what the actual carryover was from the prior year in our audit. You can see for each of the funds, was that $8,133,000? And then for the current year, we're estimating our fund balances will be what's in the yellow there. It will end with $6,940,000. The other thing this sheet shows that I think is of interest is you can see our revenue sources are local, state, and federal. Most of the local revenue is our property taxes that we collect. The state revenue is what we get from the state office. We get so much money per kid generally from the state. And then we have federal revenue for Title I programs is the biggest one. Our special ed program is a big one. Both of those programs between the two of them add up to almost $2.5 million. And then the current year also we had the tail end of the American Relief Recovery Act, ARRA. That was one-time federal money that we received fiscal 10 and 11 and carried over into fiscal 12. So this is the last year that we see any of that. So federal revenues are what they are. And you can see what percent of the budget is coming from local, state, and federal for each of the funds. Down on our expenditures, most of our money is spent on those two things right there, our salaries in our M&O fund and our benefits in our M&O fund. Between the two of them, you're looking at about 82-83% of the budget is spent on salaries and benefits in that fund. Out of the M&O fund, that's basically where the schools are operated. Our utilities are paid through here, our supplies for students, textbooks, new equipment, most all of that is coming in the M&O fund, and you can see our budget expenditures are $36,524,000. And you can see for each of the funds what the expenses are going over. The other big fund that we have is our capital outlay fund. All the construction projects, our maintenance department is paid with the salaries and benefits. Any construction that we're doing, we've had some major things going. Any capital equipment that we buy, our computer purchases, our copier expenses, those things are part of this $1.3 million. The $745,000 has to do with the bonds interest and principal that we're paying on the revenue bonds that were issued when we built the addition onto Woodruff Elementary. The other big fund that we have is our food service account. You can see most of the revenue for food services is federal revenue, and that's because we have such a large number of students on free and reduced lunch. And that has to do with the demographics and the poverty level of the families whose kids are attending the district. A lot of students on free and reduced lunch. And you can see the salaries and benefits associated with operating our food service department. And this 1.6, has to do with food primarily to feed the kids. And we've done a lot of equipment purchases the last 2 years with our food service account, so that $315,000. The last 2 years, we've spent a lot of money on new equipment in our kitchens. The state actually has gotten after us. They don't like you having more than 3 months carryover in your food service account. So, ironically, you can't have too much. You can have too much in some of these accounts.
And yet the federal government wants us to increase the
They want us to increase
food
our food rate.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've been able to do some nice upgrades to our kitchen equipment with that money in the last couple of years. down at the bottom here for the, just for our guests, school district tax rate, if you look at the tax notice you get from the county treasurer, you see two tax rates on there that have to do with schools. You'll see one for the basic school levy, it'll say, and then one for Logan City School District. And between the two of them, they add up to this 82.85, which is what the tax rate was for this last year. The state basic rate sets the program. That's the 1591. That's set by the State Tax Commission. And then the Logan School District rate is the sum of all of these other things that you see. So we have a voted leeway. We have a board leeway for class size reduction. We have a board leeway for a K-3 reading program. We have a transportation levy. That levy helps generate money to pay for our field trips and our athletic trips, things like that. Tort liability, that helps pay some of our legal fees. Our recreation levy raised money to help us pay our share of operations for the rec center down here. So we cooperate with Logan City in the operations of the rec center to the tune of a couple $100,000 a year and change. We were paying $50,000 a year according to an agreement that we had with the municipal. Also, all our athletic programs, the revenue for those programs comes through this fund, and the expenditures through that fund. So like the football team, the basketball team, all of those things ran through our recreation fund. These funds are restricted, and so I couldn't, you know, it was nice because the recreation money was going for those programs, and we couldn't use it for teacher salaries and benefits just because of the restrictions on that money. And sometimes we get questions, well, why do we spend so much on recreation? Why don't you spend that on teachers? Well, we can't. At least we couldn't. That all changes for the next year, but we'll talk about that. The debt, the general obligation debt, that's a Fund 31 levy, and that's what we levy so we can pay our voted authorized debt. Our capital outlay foundation, that's the money that's generated in our capital outlay fund. And the 10% of basic was money according to a state formula that we levied to generate money to pay for textbook supplies, utilities, things like that. Couldn't be used for personnel. For fiscal 13, we'll get into that in a few minutes, but all of these levies that I've got highlighted in yellow have been consolidated in FY13. The legislature consolidated those in legislation that goes into effect July 1. And all those levies get moved into Fund 10 now, and all the restrictions that have been on that money go away. And then down here I put a brief explanation of each of the funds, how they're used and what they can be used for. Next thing that you have in your packet for the board's information, this gives you more detail by fund with regards to the budget for FY12. And one of our purposes here is to modify the tentative budget and set the final legal budget for FY12. And so this report shows you what our actual audited expenditures were this last fiscal year for fiscal 11. And then the gray column, or looks gray up there, kind of green, is the tentative budget that was set a year ago by the Board of Education in our Truth and Taxation hearing. Actually, we had one in August. August 11th is when that was signed. So we budgeted to have that much in our ending balance. And then the purple is the final legal budget. And over here on the right, you can see the change that's being made to the current year budget from the tentative. So I'm estimating we're not going to pick up all the revenue that we had budgeted. And I'm also it looks like that our expenditures are going to be less than what we budgeted.
Because we worked really hard this year to
so
do that.
you know, cross our fingers that we land according to budget. If that's the case, we expenditures over budget primarily because of the one-time salary bonuses that were paid, or not really bonuses, there were salary enhancements that were authorized the board and paid out of this $1.22 million. That's a transfer in, 1.12 of it from the capital outlay fund. And so this shows the beginning fund balance, and this is the projected ending fund balance. So you see this report for each one of the funds. There are seven of them. And I don't know if you've had a chance to look at them. I don't know how much time you want to spend on that. In our student activities fund, it's really hard for me to project what's going on out there because I don't see what's going on out there until we collect the information for the audit. So I try to be conservative in our budgeting, and so I'm showing that our revenues are going to be down and that our expenditures are going to be up a little bit and that the fund balance will drop. Hopefully it lands in the middle there somewhere. We'll see.
And this is the biggest unknown, right?
This is the big, yeah, this is an unknown for me.
Yeah, Cheryl can give you some indication of that.
Right.
These are budgets after building levels.
Yeah, they are.
Fund 23, this is the K-12 programs fund again. Preschool, adult ed, recreation. Most of, you'll see on the, well, you don't see this, but if you want more detail, I have that, if you want to see it. But that's, you know, the biggest chunk of this money is on our recreation programs, particularly when you get looking at these numbers, the 206,000, et cetera, those and the supplies, most of that has to do with athletic programs. You get into, this is our bonded indebtedness fund. It's pretty straightforward. I think we'll have $413,000 left in that fund. You get into fund 32, our capital outlay fund, and we don't pay too many salaries out of there. That's our maintenance department, and there's a lot of money goes through that fund to keep up our facilities. This budget, this balance is lower, remember, than it's been for a long time because of that $1,120,000 transfer that was authorized last year. We talked about that, remember, can we do this? And I thought, well, we can do this, but it is going to bring that lower, and I didn't feel comfortable about taking any more out of there than we did. But I think we'll be on track for getting that fund balance built back up over time. And then this is our food service fund. You can see the detail on that. So, anyway, do you have any questions? This last page is the summary of all the funds. So you can see we have about a $50 million budget. And we'll project a carryover of about $6.9 million combined with all the funds. I'm rounding up the expenditures. Last year our budget expenditures were 51. This year we're about 48.
48.5.
Yeah. So
I was just trying to make sure.
Yeah. That's, sometimes I'll round in my speak from what we're seeing in the details. So that's okay. So do you have any questions on the FY12 budget? If you don't, then at whatever point you think would be appropriate, we'd need to have a motion to amend the fiscal 12 budget as proposed.
I've entertained a motion.
This is still, don't we have to have a public hearing on this as well?
Yeah, this is all public hearing.
Okay.
Okay, before we can vote on it.
So I wonder if we should do both and then have public hearing on both and then have the two.
Okay.
To vote. That's how we have it down here.
Okay. All right, we'll go ahead.
Okay. The next thing we're going to look at is the fiscal 13 budget. So that's the tentative FY13 budget. So, again, what you see is a summary. One of the things that's unique this year, you'll notice that on the FY13 budget, I'm showing that Fund 23 is going to be closed. That fund will be closed this year and it will go away, probably never to return again. And all the expenditures and all the revenue that we formerly had going in Fund 23 is now going to be part of Fund 10. So you will automatically see an increase in revenue and expenditures in Fund 10 commensurate with that change. The change is happening based on a recommendation from the State Office of Education. Since the recreation levy now is part of a board local levy and is all in Fund 10, and that made up the majority of what was in Fund 23, they've suggested that we cut back on the funds that we have. So I'm budgeting and accounting as if we have no Fund 23 next year. You can see down here all of those levies that were in yellow on FY12 have gone the way of the dodo bird, and we now just have three levies in our M&O fund. Our basic school levy, that's the 1665. Now, I told you the other day that that will change, and I expect it will, but I haven't heard any official word yet. But that's what they've told us in our estimates to use. So,
and that's what the state sets.
That's the one the state sets. You'll notice that state basic levy is up higher than it was last year. So statewide, it looks like the tax base has dropped, and so the certified rate for that basic rate has gone up. Down here, the voted local levy, we've talked about setting it at 852, and the board local levy, which is the sum of all those things that was in yellow and is now in here, is at 2490. Our debt service levy, I think we can leave it the same and generate the money we need for the payment. Our capital outlay levy goes to 2090. And so the proposed tax rate for next year will be exactly the same as what it is this year. If you go down, you can see by fund what the difference is from our actual FY11 budget to our final budget, the one you just looked at for fiscal 12, and what we're setting the tentative budget to be for FY13, and what the difference is over here in the right-hand columns. So again, the majority of this change has to do with the change in the funding from going from 23 into Fund 10. But we've looked at in our work session and saw, you know, we're going to collect a little more money in our state revenue, but we also have expenditures that are going up, and our budget committee met and worked really hard to come up with some changes in how we do things. We, through attrition, have eliminated about 3.5 positions. We didn't have to do any RIF, but we did make some decisions not to hire some people back next year, and that freed up enough money to pay for our health insurance increase, which was 14.5% roughly. And then with this budget proposal, there'll be funds to pay the equivalent of a 1% salary enhancement to the employees. We'll leave it to the employees to decide how they want to take that. So you can see our M&O fund balance we're projecting to go from 3.5 million up to almost 5 million. Again, that fund balance includes the fund balance from Fund 23, which if you were to look at your FY12 number, you can see we had, what did we have in our win?
It was
$1,000,126 from is what we're projecting. So some of that's coming from Fund 23. You can see that our budgeted revenues are up. Our budgeted expenditures are up a little bit. And so I anticipate that we'll be in a little better shape this coming year than we were this last year in the last three that I've been here. If you look at Fund 21, I've just budgeted the expenditures to be and the revenue exactly what they were this year. I'm hoping it'll be better than that. If it isn't, we'll have to do some changes because that's like living on the edge. Again, Fund 23 is closed. And those balances move to Fund 10. Fund 31, that's our debt service levy. We'll pick up a little more revenue in there. Expect our fund balance will be about $500,000. Fund 32 is our capital outlay fund. And I'm projecting that our fund balance will go up to $1.7 million. The hope is that we can continue to build that fund balance up to pay for some of the capital expenditures that are part of our facilities assessment that was recommended without having to bond for those improvements. And then our Fund 49, projecting that our fund balance will change just a little bit. We'll just have to see how that goes. Odds are it will be a little better than that, but between now and August 14th, we may be refining some of these numbers and looking at them again. So anyway, looking at the summary, you can see that we're looking at $47 million in revenue and about $47 million in expenditures. Our fund balance will change, hopefully up about $600,000. Now,
please note the change in fund balance for next year compared to the last two.
We got down in that one fund with all the state and federal cuts, but it was scary.
Well, our M&O unappropriated balance was down to like $20,000.
Yeah, that's
last
the
year.
One that was really scary.
So,
and we had no control
right.
on that one.
This is the one that the board needs to make a decision on with regards to tax rates for next year. Depending on what you do here and what we talked about in our budget preview in our last work session, we talked about the option because our tax valuation increased, the certified tax rate, which is the revenue neutral tax rate, would have dropped. So we looked at the option of letting our tax rate drop according to the certified tax rate, or we looked at the option of keeping our tax rate the same as it was last year. And in our discussions at our budget preview, we looked at keeping it the same. Because our tax base is higher, we'll collect a little more revenue. This sheet that you're looking at kind of gives you a big one-page snapshot of what's going on with our taxes in the district and how the decisions of the board affect property taxpayers. So if you can look, you can see right here this voted local levy. That was there last year. You can see what the statutory limit is. This board local levy replaced all of this yellow stuff. The 10% additional levy was a formula. The recreation levy had no cap, but our board local levy has capped at $2,500 for fiscal 13. And we have the capital local levy is the new name for the capital outlay levy. And they increased the ceiling on that to 0.003 from 0.0024. And then we have our bond payments levy, which you have to set it at whatever it needs to be to pay your bonds. We don't have a choice but to do what we have to do to pay our bonds. So you can see what the certified rate is the revenue neutral rate. And then you can see how that compares with the tax rates that we had in place this last fiscal year. So the certified rate dropped by 0.000052. Our proposal is to keep the tax rate the same as it was last year. And by doing that, we'll generate another $91,000. And in our budget committee, we had come up with funding to pay for the equivalent of 0.5%. If we do this, we can make that 0.5% a full percent for. And here's what it does to the taxpayer. So if you look down here, you can see that if someone has a primary residence with a market value of $150,000, the taxable value of that home is 55% of market value. So under the certified tax rate, their tax would have been $679.22. The taxes last year on that same house, assuming it appraised $150,000, was $683.51. So the taxes on that home would drop if you went with a certified rate by $4.29 a year. Based on our proposal, the tax you would expect would be the same this year as it was last year. So you can see the actual change from prior year is zero. And you can see how that fits. If your home's valued at 170 or 200, that $250,000 or $500,000. Secondary homes and businesses are taxed at 100% of market value. And so that's why you see that difference. Primary residents get a 45% discount on their taxes because of that. So you can see the proposal and the recommendation that I would make is that we keep the tax rate the same. Now, by keeping the tax rate the same, in August we'll have to have a truth in taxation hearing, and even though the taxes may be the same, you have to advertise that you're increasing taxes. And you have to do that because tax revenue collected is more than it was last year. It doesn't matter that my home value may actually drop and I would pay less, but because that rate is higher than the certified rate, you have to advertise it like that. But for most folks, they won't see a change in their tax bill, assuming they didn't go through reappraisal. And a reappraisal could actually up it up or drop it, depending on what happened. So
it's not our control.
No. So I guess at this point, Mr. President, I'd open up for any suggestion from the board or question from the board or the public. Try and answer them the best we can.
Okay. Do we have any questions or comments? Do we have from the audience? Okay. If there's no comments, we first need a... We need action on the end of the FY12 budget, ending budget. And we also need a action on the proposed 2013 tentative budget. Do I have?
I would move adoption of the final FY12 budget.
Okay, let's do that first. Okay, it's been moved by Angeri that we accept the final 2012 budget, seconded by Fred Dersch. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, now we need action on the tentative budget for 2013.
Just as a clarification,
yes.
Because we are going to have a truth in taxation hearing. Does that need to be part of the motion, Zane, so that we can officially, for the record, say that we will be having a truth in taxation meeting on August the...
I think the minutes should reflect that a motion to approve the tentative budget for FY13 with mention in the minutes that because the proposed tax rate exceeds the certified tax rate, we do need to have a truth in taxation hearing. That has been scheduled for August 14th at 6 o'clock. I just make sure that's in the minutes.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
I will move that we accept the tentative FY13 budget
as proposed.
Okay. Okay, it's been moved by Christy Cooley that we accept the tentative 2013 budget, seconded by Jim Blair. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Now, do we just need one of us to make a formal statement on the proposed tax rate?
I would say.
Okay. All right. And?
I would state that because of that, that we would also be setting the tax rate as proposed by our business administrator. Therefore, we need to have a truth in taxation hearing in August, and that date would be what date?
August 14th
at 6 o'clock p.m.
Should we put in there that we want to hold the rates the same as last year's, Zane?
Adoption of those rates, which are the same as last year, the final tax rate is the same as last year.
Okay, it's been moved by Ann Geary that we have a truth in taxation hearing in August the 14th at 6 o'clock to keep our proposed tax rate the same as we did last year. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
It's been seconded by Fred Dersch. Pardon?
Discussion.
Do you need a discussion?
No, I have it on my calendar at 6 o'clock. Will it be 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
6.
We may start the meeting at 5 as a work session, and then we will go into a budget hearing.
By law, I think we have to have it.
Yeah, we do.
After 6.
Thank you.
Okay. Any more clarification? Okay. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. We now have the consent calendar. Or do we have any other public comment?
Right.
See, okay, there's none. Okay, we now need a motion to accept the consent calendar.
I'll move we accept the consent calendar.
Okay, it's been moved by Jim Blair that we accept the consent calendar. Do we have a second?
I do second.
And Geary will second it. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We now have... we've already done that action, so we need reports from board members. Ann.
I went down to the Utah School Boards Association, Superintendents Association Joint Legislative Committee meeting, and... we talked about legislation. They were interested in what input we had had from Senator Dilliard. And one of the interesting things that we talked about was the importance of, that's not where it is, let's see, just a second. The importance that we get the Utah State Office of Education and the State Board on the same page with the school boards and the superintendents of our budget priorities. And we were talking about that in Christine Curl was there from the governor's office. And the governor's office, even with his, what is his group? I can't find my belt, you're in a different section. The governor's...
Oh, the commission on...
economic development or whatever it is. Many of his initiatives with education are almost directly in line with what we propose for budget priorities for education. you know, and what we are really wanting to work for. And so we talked about that the governor is on the same page that we are, basically. But as last year's legislature, it was the state board that had some different priorities. And so we determined to have a committee go to the next state board meeting and ask them to please, that these are our priorities. They've got to be some wordsmithing. But to take it to them before we have our delegate assembly in August, saying, you know, from all of our input, from all of our regional meetings and everything else, these are what we think priorities should be. Number one, growth and, you know, an increase in the WPU. We went through those basic things. And then to try to get the state board to adopt the same budget goals, because we heard from Senator Hilliard that we had to be on the same page with him. With the state office. And so talking about that, and then also the need to educate our legislators about budget. And we decided we would have, with kind of, they worked on an ad hoc group that would start working on who should be holding some meetings, basically our budget 101, and taking it to legislators. Because as we learned this last legislative session, they could tell immediately what the impact would be. You know, you do this much, that's not a 1% increase like the rest of state employees. And so it's been very interesting as you, especially the members of UASB, all the business administrators have met with legislators, how they've been, really, I didn't understand the impact of that. And so we talked about the need to do that on a state level, but also for each school board to meet with our legislators and help them understand the impact of legislation. And we talked about that now is the time to develop those relationships. So I was really quite pleased. We talked about that in many ways. I think our committee worked better this past year than ever before. And we were able to kill a couple of pieces of legislation. And Zane and some others were able to educate legislators in a way that was very effective. We did talk about charter school funding and dealing with that. So we have some priorities. I have my notes here somewhere, but basically it's the things we've talked about. But we are working on that. The other thing that we brought up, is, and those of you who didn't go to our Friday meetings, we found that the previous designations we made on bills, such as hold or support concept, we really need to come up with a new one that says, basically, this is a good idea, but it's not a budget priority, and with limited budgets, we don't support this. You know, and the thing we found was, oh, this is a legislator who's always been very pro public ed. How can we go against this person? But so we have a group, a committee that is working on coming up with some new designations. In other words, this is a fairly good piece of legislation, but we can't support it because our funds are so tentative right now. We've got to have it go to the bottom line instead of somebody's pet program. So we have a group working on that as well. So I think we did some pretty good things for our first meeting for the year.
Good. Thanks, Sam. Jim?
The EDIFON governing board for the 13th was canceled, so we didn't hold that meeting, so I didn't go. And other than that, I have nothing to report.
Okay. Thank you. Christy?
I just have, we all attended many year-end activities that were very fun, and it's awesome to be able to see those activities and to be involved in those accolades of our students. And then, of course, I hate to mention them all, but we all know we went to those. And then I just want to encourage everybody to get out and vote. Election's a week from tomorrow, and whatever direction you vote is fine as long as you do it. So.
Okay, thank you. Fred?
High school graduation was particularly impressive this year, so. Yeah, better activities, but I was really impressed with high school graduation. That was him, you know, just sends chills to my Just mention that. They were mad at them.
Okay.
They will be holding it again at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock was great.
I loved them, personally.
Great.
That's good. I have a board meeting with Fast Forward Charter School on Wednesday at 4. I haven't received an agenda yet, so I don't know exactly what we're going to talk about. The only other thing I had is if we could have a report of those students who did not quite make it for graduation. I believe that has to be done September, doesn't it?
September 30th.
If we could, you know, I'd like to see a report on how many additional ones made that, if we could. Other than that, Zane.
Just go in your packet. I've got the monthly financial report. Put it up here so folks can see it if they want. For the month of May, there isn't really anything out of the ordinary there. You may have noticed under general administration, though, that we are over budget right now. This doesn't reflect the revised budget that you just approved tonight, so this will change when we do our report, June report, based on tonight's revision. But based on the current budget, we're $11,000 over in our general administration. I just wanted to let you know I checked. That's primary legal fees this year. They've been higher than normal for reasons that you guys know of, and that's just kind of the nature of the beast for us right now with that. But we'll make a budget adjustment for that. It's part of the budget adjustment this year to tweak that so you don't see us over. Other than that, things are pretty much in line with the way they've been. Our revenues don't look like they're coming in like we budgeted, so that's, you'll notice when we did the budget that I projected those to be less, and that's property tax collections.
We have to have these in by June 30th to reflect on this year's budget, right?
The changes, mm-hmm. Right. So when we do the June report, that will be based on, it'll be pre-audit with the revised budgets. And so you can see each fund where we are, the budget, how the revenues and expenditures worked for the month. And then over here, this on the right-hand side, just folks know, that gives you a comparison this year with last year as to what percent of the budget has been spent. So that's an interesting one to look at for trends. And so anyway, nothing alarming or anything about that. So unless you have any questions, appreciate your support.
Okay. Thank you, Zane. Marshall?
We, after our board meeting, where there was approval on going for the pilot for the administrative evaluation, that was turned in last week, we're on the 29th. We're going to state meetings here the next 3 days, and we'll hopefully get some more information exactly what direction we're going through the whole process in the state and be able to bring that back. That'll be our work if we get started in September. What we're hiring right now is slow. We've got some things at the middle school that we're waiting on because they're getting the Garrett grant. We talked to you about that, but the funding is not, the new proposal has to be approved before we can start moving people and having some FTE open so we can open up positions. So that will be happening here within this next week and a half. And Shane is coming, he's moving this week. He will be on board next Monday. And so he'll be ready to tackle. There's quite a few openings that are occurring at the high school in terms of getting that done, including an assistant principalship. As we know, we have a letter of resignation from Ed Snow, and we'll be getting that process with it being filled by the 19th of July.
Thanks. All right, with that, we'll adjourn this meeting at 6:55. Thank you.